Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 36. You'll notice on the front cover of the bulletin this morning that Linda included the beautiful words of the Proverbs 31 passage that talks about the worthy woman. And if you ever want to see an example of a worthy woman in the New Testament, one who, though we don't know a great deal about her, nonetheless imitated in many respects what was true of the worthy woman, well, you look at the story we're about to consider here today in Acts chapter 9. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. Congregation of Christ, we know that in the Bible there are many little sentence descriptions about various people's lives. You know some of the ones that are used regarding certain men. For example, David, in spite of all of his wrongdoing, yet is called a man after God's own heart. That's a summary that is divinely given to us by God. It's inspired of God, describing what his life was really all about. Story is true also of a man by the name of Caleb. One of my favorite characters in the Old Testament. Caleb was the man who followed the Lord fully, or followed the Lord wholeheartedly. But you know, it's not just men who have these one-sentence descriptions of their lives that sum up what they really were all about. We look at this story here in front of us, a story of a woman named Dorcas, and we find that the scriptures declare here that she was a woman who was full of good works and acts of charity. That's the description of what kind of person she really was. Linda has already reminded us that on a day like this, when we honor grandmothers and mothers, we also remember too that there are many single women also who are involved in many very important things in terms of raising children and helping the next generation that is coming as well. And every one of these, single or married, whatever, I know that in many ways they have all helped to make our lives better and certainly have blessed the cause of Jesus Christ as well. I believe that more than that, stories like this woman here, Dorcas, point to us not only an example of someone who was doing right, but they have set for us an example to follow. And that's the first thing that I want to point out today, is that every one of us, male or female today, as we remember this very important woman in the church, we need to do good wherever God may place us. The importance of doing good must always be a priority in our lives as Christians. And this is true in our home, certainly. That's where it all begins. We need homes that, as the song just said that we were singing, that are Christian homes where there are mothers who are faithfully carrying out their responsibilities. And this takes on different forms for many people. You remember that the godly woman of Proverbs 31 is one that was certainly a woman who worked in her home and did many of the home duties that have become accustomed to be regarded as the work that mothers do. But also she was someone who was involved in outside work as well, even in business to some degree. And so we see that there are all different ways that women serve our communities, our homes, our churches, and in every one of these things they are vitally important. So if you're a grandmother here this morning, and or you're a mother here, and if you are here today as someone who has been helping out in the work of the Lord in some way, Lord, you know, we can thank the Lord for you, because we're grateful that God has used every one of you. Now, to show you how important this woman really was, this woman Dorcas, you know that in these days, of course, what the culture said about women. Women were not highly regarded. You say, well, why not? Well, they weren't very enlightened in that regard, were they? And the thing is that when a woman, for example, was someone who had information that might be used in a trial, in a court case, they were never called upon to testify because their testimony was considered to be invalid. You say, well, how ridiculous is that? Well, that's the kind of world we were living in. But you know, one of the things that changed that to a large degree is the Christian faith. Wherever Christianity has come, women have been treated far better than they have in cultures where Christianity is not known. All you have to do is look around the world and see this to be true as a fact of life. You know about many of the parts of the world where women are living in a very second-class situation. And nonetheless, when Christianity comes and it begins to impact a society, a culture, everything begins to change about that. And that was true in the New Testament times too. As the gospel of Jesus Christ began to spread around the world more and more, we see that women were placed in positions of greater honor. One of the men, of course, who always honored women in his writing was the gospel writer Luke. Luke, more than any other person, demonstrates how Jesus regarded women to be very important. And we know that women were very important in the ministry of our Lord Jesus, too. A large portion of the support that Jesus received to carry on his ministry was that which was being supplied by many of the women that were disciples of his. And there were many other things, too. It was the women who looked after his burial. It was the women who were concerned about his needs along the way. They were very much involved in his life and in his ministry. We know that Jesus' own mother was like that. Of course, she was a very godly woman. We know that from the beginning, when the angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, Mary, you are highly favored of the Lord. The Lord selected her out of all the women of the world that could have been used to bring Christ into the world. The Lord selected her because he knew her to be a woman of great spiritual quality and one who was willing to submit to whatever the will of God was for her life. She didn't argue. She didn't debate whether it was the right thing or not. She said, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I am willing to do. She was willing to accept God's will. And of course, we know the great impact that she had on Jesus' life. Everywhere we see her in the gospel, she's proving herself to be a worthy woman. At the wedding of Cana, who's the one who cares about the fact that they're having some difficulty there? It was Mary who stepped forward. When we see that Jesus was beginning to get in trouble with many of the Jewish authorities, and the word began to spread about that, who was it that came down to see if there was anything that could be done for him? It was his mother Mary and the brothers of the family. And you know, it goes on and on and on. Even at the cross, horrible as it was, we see Mary as a dedicated woman there at Jesus' cross. And when it was all over with and Christ was ascended back into heaven, we see her taking her rightful place among the disciples, worshiping there in the upper room, waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. She was very much connected with everything that happened. And you know, because Luke was such an interested person in how Jesus treated women, I'm not surprised that it's Luke who also wrote the book of Acts that he includes this important story about Dorcas. Because you realize what's happening here? A lady who has served well in her community and in her local church now dies, and a lot of people at that point could have said what? Well, we're very sad that she died because she certainly was a good lady, but that's all that we can say about it. But you know what? They considered her to be so important that they sent two men down to the place where Peter was to see if there wasn't something more that could be done. If somehow Peter might be able to do the same thing that our Lord Jesus Christ did when he was here on earth, and that is to literally raise the dead to life. A lot of people, of course, don't believe in things like that. But I want you to realize that everything the Bible says is true. And we know that it was true here as well. When Peter came to the place where Dorcas was, she had been dead for quite a while. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, she had been laid in this room. And while she was laid there, of course, they had to send these two men to go and contact Peter. That was about an 11-mile trip from the city where she was at and to go to where Peter was at. And then he had to come all the way back again. And, of course, they didn't just jump in the car and quickly shoot down there or jump on horseback or whatever and get there very quickly. It takes a little while to cover that, about 22 miles round trip. Walking on foot, that would take a little while. Certainly, if she was laying there in the upper room, you would know by then whether she was alive or if she was truly dead. After all, the women, too, had come and they had washed her body and prepared her for burial. They certainly knew when someone was dead or not after having gone through that whole procedure. And yet, it was God's plan to do something far greater through this woman. The woman had blessed people for many, many years. But now she was going to do something even greater than that. She was not going to just enrich or enhance the life of people who were in need, widows and so forth, for whom she made clothes and all the other charitable deeds that she did for them. But now something even far greater is going to happen. God is going to take this woman and raise her from the dead and is going to use what happens through her to be the means of bringing many people to salvation. She not only enriched the lives of people in the past, but now God is going to use this godly woman as a means of bringing people not to enriched life, but to eternal life. And it's all going to happen because God is using her in this very key role. Why was it her? Why not some other person that died? Because she had such a reputation as a godly woman, and everyone was so sad when she was gone that certainly if she could be raised from the dead, it would make an impact upon everybody. It was that kind of life that she lived, and because of that fact, her life influenced people when she lived, when she died, and even after she was raised again from the dead. It was a tremendous story here, even though we just have a few of the details. You know, we need to do good not only where God places us, like Dorcas did, but we need to do good however God equips us. God doesn't equip everyone with the same talents, nor does God have a calling for everyone that is exactly the same. Some will become mothers. Some will become grandmothers. Some may never become mothers, but in many regards will do the work of mothers by caring for many who maybe are not even their own children, but the children of others. How many times haven't people in the caring professions been aided and helped by by women who operate in those professions. How many times haven't we had school teachers and so forth who have blessed our lives through their instruction? I stop and think back of the training that I had in North Christian School many years ago, and I don't think it was until I hit sixth grade that I had my first male teacher. All the way up through that time, I had, you know, women teachers who were very good teachers. The last one that I had before I got my first man teacher at sixth grade was Miss Venema. Some of you remember Miss Venema. She was still teaching yet at 70 years of age. Never married, but you know what? What a blessing. You know, I'll tell you, I can still remember some of the things that she taught us in those grades. It was way back, but I'll tell you, it was something that was a great blessing. What a way she influenced a lot of people. And you know, that's what we need to do wherever God puts us and however God equips us. Some women will go to college, some will not. Some will be operating in a home, some will not. Others will be working in some other capacity, whatever it is. The important thing is that we serve the Lord faithfully and we care for others the best that we can. And you know, women have a reputation for being able to care a lot more so than men do. You ever watched a football game on a Saturday afternoon? And you notice that a lot of times when the camera's going around the audience, you know, you see some kid in the audience will raise up his sign and it says, "Hi, Mom." You ever see any signs that go up and say, "Hi, Dad"? They don't care about Dad, you know. Dad wants to buy the tickets for the game? Great. But, why do they say, "Thanks, Mom," or "Hi, Mom"? Because they remember that when they were in trouble, who was the one that listened and who cared and was more interested in what their problems were? More than not, it's often the mom that is that one who is doing that. And, you know, it's no accident that even the young men at the football game are still thinking about who? Mom. Well, it's exciting to see that happen. And, you know, when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, and he talked about his ministry with the Thessalonian Christians, he said, "When I was with you, Thessalonians, I tried to carry out my ministry the same way that a nursing mother would care for her infant child." You say, that's the pastoral ministry? That was one of the models that Paul used to describe what his ministry model was all about. Sometimes we think about great ministers of the gospel who are those who are, you know, can shout and scream and are very dynamic and very powerful. And, you know, there's a place for all that too. Remember, God uses everyone. But I want you to realize that sometimes it's people just like Paul's talking about here who are speaking in this caring way, caring much like a mother would for an infant child. What a wonderful picture of ministry is all about here. So we need to bloom wherever God places us. We need to do good however God equips us. We do good, I want to clarify again, not in order to earn salvation. There's so much confusion about this yet to this day. On the best day of your life, male or female, whoever you are, you cannot earn your salvation. Get that through your head once and for all. I know many of you know this and have heard it all your life, but you know, I still hear everywhere I go, there are people that still are confused about this sometimes. And we need to realize that it is not by works of righteousness that we do, but it's according to God's mercy. It's according to His grace that He saves us. But you know what? We're not saved by works, we're saved by faith. But you know what? We are saved by a faith that works, a faith that does good deeds. A faith without works is what? It's dead. And I believe that one of the reasons why we have examples of godly women in the Bible, like this Dorcas here, why Luke included her in the story, is because of the fact that here we see exactly what Christian living is really to be. How do we know if a work is a good work? Well, a good work is, number one, anything that imitates Christ. If it imitates him, it's a good work. If it glorifies God, it's a good work. If it's something that's motivated by love for God and love for others, it's a good work. After all, that's what the law of God is all about, isn't it? Loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves, and loving others in the way that he loved us. If we're motivated with that kind of love, that's a good work, whatever it is. And the same thing is true with anything that is done out of true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you can do a lot of good, and you can do it for a lot of reasons, but doesn't mean that it's always a good work. It might be good in the eyes of our fellow human beings, but a really biblical sense of a good work is one that conforms to a Bible teaching and Bible instruction, and it proceeds from our faith in Christ. We do it because we realize that this is what Jesus wants us to do, and we want to follow him. We believe in him. We love him. We want to serve him. And when we live that way, of course, there's one other thing that happens. We give credibility to the gospel of salvation of free grace. And you know what? How do people see our works and glorify God in heaven? Well, the Bible says that when people see our good works, they glorify our Father in heaven. That's what was happening with Dorcas. People were glorifying God because she was such a great woman who served the Lord so effectively and powerfully. And you know what? That's why I believe God chose to use her resurrection to bring two remarkable blessings into focus. Number one, the first blessing that happened was that many believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. When Peter came down there and saw all the things that she had done, and then put everyone aside, and he went into the room, and there this woman who had been dead now for many hours, no question about the fact that she was truly dead, he summons her through faith. And you know, it's rather interesting. Her Hebrew name or Aramaic name was Tabitha. And literally, the text says, Tabitha, come. Tabitha, come. Tabitha, arise. It almost sounds like the words that Jesus used when he raised a little girl in the Father's home. The father had summoned and said, come, my daughter's sick, please come. When he got there, the daughter was already dead. And what did Jesus do? He went into the room, put everybody out, and then he spoke to the little girl and he said, Talitha cum. Here, Peter's words are, Tabitha cum. It's almost like there's a rhyme there. It's almost like it's the same words, only one is a proper name and the other one just means little girl. Rise. But you see, I have no doubt that there was a number of reasons why this had to happen in this fashion. Can you imagine how hard it would be to be a disciple of Jesus Christ after Christ died, and after he was buried, and after he rose, and after a handful of people saw him ascend into heaven? Now you were commissioned to go out into all the world and tell everybody that this Jesus is alive and that he is still saving people and he wants to be their savior as well. Can you imagine how hard that would be to convince people of this? Oh, you're talking about Jesus? Oh yeah, I remember him. He was the one that they crucified back there on Calvary, on Golgotha. Yeah, I remember him. You mean you want us to get excited about that man? I mean, wasn't he rejected by the Romans? Wasn't he one that the Jewish leaders were all against? I mean, why in the world should I be excited about learning about him or following him? Yes, oh, I know they said that he rose from the dead, but you know, really, folks, can you really believe that? Can you really believe that he rose from the dead? I mean, come on, do people rise from the dead? You've been sitting here next to a cemetery week after week after week and for year after year after year. Have you ever seen anybody rise from the dead? But you know what? When God wants somebody to rise from the dead, they're going to rise. You remember that when Jesus was on earth, three times he did this publicly before he rose himself from the dead. Now, all of that was designed to teach what? The reality of the truth that he taught. When Jesus said that he had come to give us eternal life, he demonstrated this even by his power over death and the ability to restore physical life. That was to add further emphasis to the fact of his giving eternal life as well. And you know, that's what happened here. Everybody knew the lady was dead, but Peter walked in there and he spoke those words, "Tabitha, come." And when she came forth, everybody was not only surprised, but what happened? He called the saints and the widows and he presented her alive. It had become known throughout all Joppa. You can well imagine the word would spread very, very quickly. Everybody heard about her death. Everybody knew about her reputation. But now to hear that she had been raised, oh, what an amazing thing. Many people believed. Many people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know, mother in the audience, grandmother in the audience, young person, young woman in the audience who have worked at serving the Lord in significant ways? How do you know what will happen someday as a result of what you have done? You say you think I'm going to be able to raise somebody from the dead? I'm not going to say that, but I'm going to tell you one thing. If God wanted it, it could happen. But I want to tell you one thing. You have no idea knowing what your works might do as a result of what you have done. You may not even see the full effect of it yet. The Bible says that in death even, for a true believer, their good works follow even after them. A believer's works aren't done even when life is over. The good works that they have done continue to bless people for years and years and years to come. Think about all the examples of it. I was riding down to Director's Hall this morning again to conduct a service down there. And you know what? As I ride down that way, many times I pass what? The Salvation Army building. Started by what? By a Christian, William Booth. What an amazing thing. Started many, many years ago. Taught the Christian gospel, also determined to show Christian charity and deeds of kindness and mercy. And you know what? Look at that. How many years has he been dead now? A long time. But you know what? His works are still following after him yet. People are still being blessed by the work that he started years ago. Think about the ministry of the Kalamazoo Gospel Mission right here in our community. Many years ago, it started. It looked like something that might never get off the ground, but it not only got off the ground, but it continues to bless people year after year after year. The good works of those who started it long ago are still bearing fruit. What an amazing truth. We have a number of folks here that are in some way connected with the hospitals of our town. And you look at the two hospitals in this city. Borges and Bronson. Started how? By Christian groups. By Catholics. By United Methodist. But whatever the case, there was a Christian emphasis behind it. We may not agree on every point of theology or doctrine, but you know what? The fact remains that people felt that there was a need for such a physical, medical ministry in our community that reflected a religious foundation. And you see that even now, how many years later, good works are still being accomplished because of the work that people have done before. How do you know what will happen in the years ahead, even after you are off the scene? How do you know how many blessings will come just because of the fact that you were here now and because of what you did in your life at this time? A while ago, about 5 years ago, I used to sing at one of the area residents here for seniors. And I did it for about 2 years. I'm not talking about my 14 years at Friendship Village. This is another place. But after 2 years, the people that were all doing their turns singing there, they decided that after about 2 years of having the same people, they would bring in some new blood, and they would let some of the folks move on that had been there in the past. And so we were told basically that, we could come back maybe every few months, but certainly not every month like we used to. Well, I just felt that, hey, if there was room for others to come in, it wasn't like I was actually looking for work to do. I thought, hey, I'll let others come in. But finally, about a year and a half went by, almost 2 years. One day I thought to myself, I wonder how they're doing over there. I thought I'll just go over there and stop and see the folks once to see what happened. Now, at that time, while I had been there, I had been working for an individual that was a nice person, but I didn't know anything about any evidence of Christianity. Okay? No outward signs that this individual was a believer. But when I went back to talk to them, now this is about 3.5 years roughly after I was finished working there, about 3.5 years. Anyway, I went and I talked to that individual and I said, how's it going? Are you ever in need of anybody to come back and sing for you? The individual said, as a matter of fact, we could definitely use somebody again. We have, some of the ones that came in after you were gone, they were there for a while, now they're gone. We'll be glad to have you come back. How about next month? So I said, okay. I figured, hey, I'm going back for a month. That's all it would be. When I got done with the service that day, this individual approached me and said, how would it be if you would come every week? I said, well, what do you mean? Well, when you come here now, you come in and you just sing for us. But what would it be if you would come and actually lead a Bible lesson here and then sing also and do that every week? I said, well, okay. But while I was talking to this individual, I noticed something different. There was all kinds of Christian literature around on this person's desk. And I thought, something is different here. And now this person is asking me to come back and lead a Bible study weekly as well as sing. And I couldn't, just sit there and observe this and not ask a question. So I said, I see all this Christian literature here, and now you want me to do a religious service here. Are you a Christian? And the person said, well, since you are working for me, I became one. I became a follower of Jesus, and I'm now trying to live for him and promote his cause in the world. I thought, thank God for that. That's wonderful. And the individual said something else. The individual said, will you pray for a family member of ours who at this time is an adult but doesn't seem to want anything to do with the things of the Lord? We've tried to witness. It has been to no avail. We're trying to set good examples and all of this, but all we can do right now at this point is just seem to pray. I said, well, just keep praying. Keep praying. A couple of months ago, individual came again and said, there seems to be a slight interest all of a sudden in this individual's life, that they seem to be interested a little bit in the things of the gospel. Would you pray that God would really work? So we did. When I say we not only prayed there at this place, but we also prayed right here at Faith Chapel at Renew. And about a month ago, that individual and the family decided it was time to go to church and time to begin to learn about the Lord. And as far as I know, every week since that time, this family member has been back in church. I say back in church. I don't ever know that there really was much church before that, but is now going to church. And I want to tell you, without getting into any names here, I've been trying to keep names out of the picture. This individual is now attending a gospel preaching church. Okay? It's not just some fly-by-night church. It's a gospel preaching church. And man, I'll tell you, that's a great blessing. Why did it happen? Well, you say, God worked in his life. Undoubtedly. It was all of grace. That's right. God called him. Right on. But you know what? I think it was the prayers of the mother in this case who got that person back into a better attitude about the Bible and everything else, and is now continuing to pray for that family member. Okay? So, who knows? Who knows what can happen when people are involved in this kind of thing? When people are doing good works, when they are continuing to serve the Lord, when they are continuing to pray for people, when they are continuing to help people, when, whether male or female, they are living like Christians and showing the power of the gospel in their lives, what can happen as a result? I'll tell you, Dorcas blessed many people. You know what? There was one other blessing I've got to tell you quickly here. As a result of this, it seems that once the miracle was over, it says in verse 43 that he, that is Peter, stayed in Joppa for many days with Simon a tanner. Now, he wasn't there before. Okay? Now, all of a sudden, he's staying in Joppa. And he's staying at the home of who? Simon the tanner. But Peter's a Jew. And tanners are dealing with unclean things from the Jewish standpoint. And Peter hasn't understood the whole truth about the free gospel of grace yet. He's going to have to learn more about the gospel of grace and how all the ceremonial things that were so important in the Old Testament are now removed and then replaced by our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter's going to have to come to that knowledge. In fact, if you look ahead in chapter 10, you see that in the next chapter, that's exactly what happens. God will open Peter's eyes, but you know what? God's already getting him ready for it, because when Peter stays in Joppa to continue to minister, no doubt, to all the people who are coming to know the Lord as a result of Dorcas being raised, God puts him in the home of a tanner, a man who's dealing in all the things that from a Jewish standpoint is unclean. But you know what? God is even going to bless one of his great workers of the gospel, teaching that important thing. We seem to have a little competition down there. That's all right. Anyway, you see what I'm saying, though? God not only blessed Dorcas by restoring her life and blessed the whole community, and many people that were unsaved now came to know the Lord. But you know what? Even Peter, the mighty man who stood up on Pentecost Day and preached and 3,000 people got saved, that didn't mean that as great as God had used him, that there wasn't more that Peter had to learn yet. He had to learn a lot more. And you know what? God stuck him right in Joppa in a tanner's house to teach him a whole new truth about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, God can do great things through any one of us. And he uses all kinds of people to do it, including many, many godly women. Dorcas blessed people and built a great reputation for herself. And that's a good combination. When you live in such a way that you produce a good reputation, but you also bring great blessings to other people, that's wonderful. But you know, it all happened because Her reputation came because of her persistent goodness. And the blessing that she came to others, that came to others through her, it happened because of her persistent goodness. She was always doing good as a godly woman. You know what? When we continue to do good work, men will see our good works and they will glorify God in heaven. And that's why we're here in this world to begin with. We're not here for ourselves. We're here to bring honor and glory to God. And Dorcas was that kind of a woman that God used in that way. Who knows how God may use you and you and you and me to bring blessing to others by the lives that we live. Assuming, of course, that we are determined to carry on a life of goodness for Him. We're not saved by our goodness, but those who are saved want to reflect goodness in all that they do. Let's pray to God now. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time and your word. Lord, there are so many wonderful stories like this one that we never can exhaust the pages of the scripture. There's always more to teach and always more to learn. Bless these truths today to our lives, Lord, and may we learn from them and be the best that we can be because of them. Encourage us, challenge us, motivate us to be the men and the women that you want us to be. And we pray it in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.